Good morning, church. We're blessed. We are blessed at this church to have such amazing worship. Thank you, Holly and the guys. It's much appreciated. Yes, we really are blessed. You know, we're just going to get right into scripture this morning. We've got a lot to get through. I trust you'll be blessed and challenged by God's word this morning, because God's word does challenge us of that. There is no doubt. And we're going to read this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to go from verse 7 to verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to go from verse 7 to 10. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. The grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. May God bless the public reading of his word this morning. You know, this particular passage of scripture is very challenging. It's challenging because of the way and the life that we live in this world today. All scripture is challenging, but this particular one is challenging. And as Paul writes these scriptures, he is in prison. You know, we've been blessed over the last while to hear a lot about Paul from this pulpit, and we've gone through different books of the Bible, and now we've kind of fast-forwarded, and we're in the book of 2 Timothy, and Paul is in prison. He faces death in a dungeon, a filthy, rotten prison, yet he has run the race of endurance and perseverance to the end faithfully, and he awaits his reward. And as he writes this letter to Timothy, his son in the faith, he does so placing a lot of responsibility in Timothy. What for? To carry on the good work. And the reason Paul is writing these passages to Timothy is he needs and requests Timothy to have the right attitude. An attitude of courage. You see, Timothy is not as bold or courageous as Paul. And Paul writes this letter in order to infuse Timothy with some boldness and courage, because he's carrying on the good work in a very hostile environment. And the verses we have read, massive verses we have read, basically says, and the challenge from Paul to Timothy is, do not be ashamed. Do not be ashamed. The epistle is really a call, a massive strength in service. And this morning, do we need a massive call for our strength in spiritual service? You see, it is a big verse. It's a very important verse, the first one in verse 7, and we're going to come to that in a minute. But the bottom line is, to be an effective witness in the days that we live, we have to and cannot be ashamed of Christ. We have to live a life that we are not ashamed of Christ. It just can't happen. We need to be bold and courageous when we preach, when we teach, when we share, when we encourage, when we witness, when we're part of our ministry. And Paul wants Timothy to be bold amidst the adversity that he's facing in a hostile environment. And I believe today, being a born-again Christian in the days that we live, with everything that is coming against the world, everything that is coming against the believer, the new laws that are coming in, the challenges that we face, we too live in a hostile and operate in a hostile environment. And also, there is other adversity that we face in life as individuals. It could be relationship issues, financial issues, health issues. It could be that life just weighs heavy upon us. And Paul wants Timothy to be full of courage as he carries on his Christian service. And this courage can be summed up by saying, I will speak the way God wants me to speak, and I will live the way God wants me to live. Now, let's be honest, totally honest with ourselves. There has probably been a point in your life, it might be now, I know it certainly has been for me in the past, where you've been ashamed of Christ. It might be that you've been ashamed to be associated with Christ. It might be that you've been embarrassed. It might be that some folks, you're scared, some people might mock you. They might look at you different because you claim to be a Christian. You might be worried that people might reject you. They might not want to be your friend. They might not want to hang out with you because you give so much of your time and effort to the church. It could be that you might think people will look at you and question, you're a Christian? How can you be a Christian? You do this, you do that, and you're telling me that you're a Christian? It could be that we feel we might not be able to communicate effectively what we believe, and thus we see nothing. And as I said, the bottom line is, if we're going to serve God effectively, we have to overcome any shame, any embarrassment, and any fear. Matthew 10, 32, 33 says, anyone who shall confess me before men, I shall also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. Whoever shall deny me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. That's a big deal, man. That verse is a big deal. If we're constantly ashamed of Christ, we've just read the consequences. You see, society was not particularly receptive to Timothy and his teaching. Just like today, there is so many things trying to squash truth, both outside and sadly creeping into the church. And the main thrust that keeps us moving and preaching, teaching, witnessing, helping and encouraging is having absolute courage and boldness to stand on our convictions. And Paul is calling strongly on Timothy to have courage, to stand in his convictions, regardless of the adversity that he's facing in a hostile environment. Because Paul sees it so important. He's facing death. He sees it so important that Timothy carries on the good work. And he mentions, do not be ashamed. He messages it in that verse, but also in the verses after the ones that we read this morning, he mentions it another twice. So do not be ashamed is a big deal to Paul. He's saying, do not be ashamed regardless of what's coming against you as a believer. So it's no different to you or I this morning. We can put our name on there instead of Timothy's. And one thing about courage, a vital component for the Christian today, especially in a world that is rejecting Christ, that is rejecting the Word of God, is that regardless of how organized you think you are, regardless of how gifted you think you are, regardless of how many biblical courses you think you've done that have enhanced you, regardless if you think you're a scholar, if we do not have courage, we will not speak God's Word, because you need courage. Courage means you speak, especially in the days that we live, if we claim to be a Christian. And sadly today, there are many people who just Christians who justify their silence by saying that their faith is so private and so personal to them. If our faith is so private and personal to us, it is not the Christian faith. I don't know what faith it is, but it's not the Christian faith. And also, without contradicting myself, and I kind of am, there are many people who stand in pulpits week in, week out. You can go home and turn on the channels today. There are thousands of them. Some of them are good. Some of them, and you watch them, and they lack ferocious amounts of courage because of what they do say, because they are fearful and ashamed to speak the Word of God, because they are scared of who sits in front of them. I was talking to Pastor Robert about this morning. They are scared of the fact that if you offend, the money doesn't come in, the CD sales, and that's fact, because they are so scared to preach the true Word of God because of what they do say. And this courage is vital for effective ministry, effective service, effective preaching, effective teaching. And it's easy for others to say, be bold. Be bold. Come on, Danny, you need to be courageous in the days that you live. Okay, I'm going to be courageous. I'm going to be courageous. Be strong, Danny. Yeah, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be strong. And many people give you that advice without any foundation. Any foundation at all. It's just words. Words that come out their mouth. That's why we always have to come to God's Word. And when we come to verse 7, it confirms exactly what the believer has. God has given us so much. When we look at verse 7, we have no choice but to acknowledge what God has given us. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and sound mind. Your version might say, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but power, love, and self-control, or self-discipline. And timidity in this context means cowardness and fearfulness and shame and embarrassment. And this verse is reiterating, God did not, it didn't happen, give us a spirit of fear. Instead, he gave us power, he gave us love, and he gave us sound mind. Why? To be used to glorify God, to honor God, to edify God, and to further his kingdom in the days that we live. So if we show no boldness, if we show no courage, we are ashamed to speak of the Lord and don't really live for the Lord and serve him, then we are not using what God has given us. God did not give us a lack of courage to speak. He gave us courage. How amazing is that? The Almighty God gave us courage. And the most important part of this verse is God has given us. It's already there. Power, love, and sound mind. And when we accepted Christ, he gave us power, awesome power. We have heard it week in, week out from this pulpit. And I don't imagine we are going to stop hearing about it. Every week we hear about it because it's so important. The Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and to the ends of the earth. Power. And then when we accepted Christ, we received the capacity to love. The love which is instructed of us that we have to adhere to. And with regard to love, it is one of the most powerful resources that God gives us. It is, but we always kind of float over the love topic. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. Romans 5:5, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So he gives us power, he gives us love. And then when we accept Christ genuinely, we receive the Holy Spirit, and with him, he brings us fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. So we actually possess these things. How amazing is that? We possess them. So if we're timid in our witness in our Christian life, we are ineffective because we are not bold and courageous in advancing God's kingdom as we are called to do by using the resources that God has given us. It's not God who gives us a spirit of fear or timidity. I would say that would be sin because God gives us the opposite. He gives us the opposite. How amazing is that? God has given us his power. Zechariah 4:6. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It's not human power or human might, but power by the Spirit of God. We've heard about it week after week from this pulpit. The power of God is there to produce things, to edify and glorify God. And we possess the indwelling Holy Spirit. In him, there is power. In him, there is power. And in this life, we try at times to do so many things on our own strength, whether it's relationship issues or health issues, it could be financial, whatever it may be, things that weigh heavy upon us. We always try to and do things in our own strength. But here's the key. That's fine. But the key is for a Christian to understand and acknowledge that going in our own strength will only take us so far. That is vital to acknowledge that if you're a Christian. Going in your own strength will only take you so far. It's the spiritual power that changes things. You see, this power, and by its power, is way beyond our grasp to understand. We have to accept it. We come to God's word, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. When we live our life witnessing and honoring God according to Scripture, we can see this power kick in to change things, people, situations, healings. And we all have that power. All Christians do. But it is actioned, this is the important part, it is actioned by those who are controlled by the Spirit of God, who submit fully to the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's where the power operates. That's where the power operates. Do we do that? Do we submit fully, daily, to the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit? If we're really honest with ourselves this morning, is it just a partial part of our life? Or do we not really do that at all? Then he gave his love. When the Holy Spirit is in us, he deposits the love of God in us. So he gave his power, and now we have love too. How amazing is that? And this topic of love is something that we have to take seriously because it is an absolutely ferociously good resource that God gives us. But it has to be used effectively. That's the key. This love that God gives us, this commanded love that we've got to adhere to, when used appropriately, it has to be used effectively. You see, agape love, the love commanded of us, we've heard about it many times. It's not filial love, which is a love based on emotion. Emotion goes up and it goes down. Christians' emotions go up and they go down, like yo-yos at times. But this is agape love, the commanded love of us. You see, agape love, a commanded love, a sacrificial love we give away in God's behalf towards others. If it's a love, Jesus said, is the greatest love, which we are willing to lay down its life for when we love. A love that says, I choose to love. That's powerful. I choose to love. Did we do that? A perfect love which casts out fear. And if we truly love God, we will put everything we have in the line in serving him. And the big challenge today for me and you is, are we doing that? In the days that we live, are we doing that? Are we putting everything in the line? And here's one fact. One fact that stands out like a sore thumb outside the church and also stands out like a sore thumb inside the church. We can't hide it. We can't disguise it. What we truly love in this life controls our actions. Think about that for a minute. What we truly love in this life controls our actions. And if we truly love God, we'll have no fear in serving him. The love that casts out fear. If we love ourselves, and many people do, we will do everything to satisfy ourselves. Hence, that will result in no real sacrifice for God. How do we do that? The love is there.
We have to be walking in the Spirit. Why? Because that's where the love manifests itself. And when that happens, it is a powerful resource that we can use for the days that lie ahead to crack on with the important task ahead. So he's given his power. He's given his love. And now he gives his self-control, sound mind, self-discipline, whatever you want to call it. And the idea here regarding self-discipline means to control everything in our lives in the middle of good things and bad things. So often we just focus on the bad, the negative. I've got to control the bad. I need to control that bad, negative thing in my life. I have to deal with that. We are to control the good things also, the amazing things also. You see, it's the ultimate self-control, to control every aspect in our life, both positive and negative. It's the wisdom and discernment that we seek in order to receive the sound judgment. The self-control that takes every feature of our life and makes it positive. What for? Advancing God's kingdom. That's what we're called for. To advance God's kingdom. That's the discipline. That's the discipline. And the main issue here is, are we walking in the Spirit? So important. It's a self-control that can't be taught. It's a self-control that we can't go to night classes for. It's a self-control that we can't say, I want to be like him or her. It's an amazing gift from the Holy Spirit. And the whole issue here and responsibility in us is how we walk in the Spirit. It's having the ability, this is important, to order our lives so that everything fits into the right priorities and enables you to do God's work every single day, nothing spared. So we have power, we have love, we have sound mind, the amazing resources we have that belong to those who walk in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and whom the Word of God dwells. If the Word isn't in us, it will not come out of us. We have these if we yield to the Spirit. They belong to us already. How amazing is that? That should fire us up every single day. Power to do things for God. The love which is commanded of us. Sacrificial love for God and man. And self-discipline to accomplish. How awesome is that? But we need to constantly acknowledge it's not the powers that some folk have in status or personality. It's not the love we show every day in compassion or kindness or generosity. It's not the self-control or the self-discipline or the super-organized. It's a divine situation. It's gifts from God. We are to use them. And the challenge this morning is, are we using the resources that God gives us? And Paul is encouraging Timothy, reminding him of the amazing resources he has, just like us. Why is he reminding Timothy of the amazing resources he has? To go on with the important task ahead. Paul is facing death. He's accepted that, but he wants Timothy to carry on the good work. Paul is going to meet his end. He awaits his reward. The ministry that God has given him on earth is coming to an end, but he wants Timothy to carry on the good work. It's an important task ahead. And I believe today, with everything that is coming against the believer, the word, with everything that is coming against the church, I believe today we have to acknowledge the important task ahead and acknowledge that God has given us the power. God has given us a love that will make us sacrifice our life. And God has, by his Spirit, has given us a self-control and self-discipline to be effective witnesses and believers in the world that we live. God has given us it. How amazing is that? And then in verse 8, Paul is saying, accept your sufferings. Paul speaks of the afflictions of the gospel. Remember last week, Pastor spoke about suffering. We prayed about that this morning as well in the meeting. Suffering. He said, you will suffer. And we acknowledged last week that we will suffer. But what Paul's saying here, accept your sufferings, be equipped for the suffering that you are going to face. The gospel, the afflictions of the gospel. God's redeeming love revealed in Christ. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth him will not perish, but have eternal life. And in today's world, that gospel message is becoming more controversial, it's becoming more offensive as culture and society changes, as laws come in, as opinions change. The Bible says the only way to heaven is to accept Christ genuinely. Grace through faith, not through works. And although it's the good news, the bottom line is it delivers an absolutely non-negotiable truth that many people, a growing number of people in our world today, do not accept. And we should expect, and we will have suffering if we choose to speak that gospel. And that suffering will come in different levels. We heard last week, we will suffer. But what Paul's saying here is, we need to accept our sufferings. We need to be equipped for rejection. And the question is today, are we equipped for rejection, knowing everything that is coming against the word and the believer today. It shouldn't really affect us. It shouldn't affect our ministry, our teaching, our preaching, or whatever it is, our service. But it does. It does. Take pastors, for example. It's good to take pastors. Every time I come up here, I take pastors, for example. I don't know why that is, but it's good to take. They can handle it. Most of them can. Ours can. Ours are good. Ours are good. Take pastors, for example. When people kick off with pastors, many people kick off with pastors for many, many reasons. Some ridiculous reasons, some ungodly reasons. That's just a fact. They kick off with pastors. That's why pastors, good pastors that are truly called by God to serve, are equipped for rejection. They are programmed for adversity that comes their way for standing firm. You will not break them. And I believe that we should look to pastors as examples. Of course, they want people to accept truth. Of course, they want people to adhere to Christian discipline, which is so important. But if people don't accept truth, if people don't adhere to Christian discipline, then they just keep going because pastors are focused. They keep moving, they keep honoring, and they keep going with the important task ahead. And I truly believe today that we should look to the good godly pastors as examples. And if we choose as Christians to live a super comfortable life, dip in and out, do everything possible to avoid rejection, do everything possible to avoid suffering, do everything possible to avoid adversity by not witnessing, living as we should according to Scripture, then when the real hostility comes, we are going to fold like a pack of cards. And that's a fact. Paul was suffering real bad because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yet, he was not ashamed. He was not ashamed. He mentions it three times. Do not be ashamed. He was saying to Timothy, and we can put our names here, because of your gifts. I don't have time to get into that. That's the verses prior. But because of your gifts, because of the resources that you have, Timothy, power, love, sound mind, do not be ashamed. Do not be ashamed. There is no need of the testimony of our Lord or of me as prisoner. Then says, this is the important part, and carries on from last week, but join me in suffering for the gospel. Timothy, don't be afraid. Join me. Suffer. We're in this together. Keep it okay. Come on, Timothy. And because of the resources that you have, because of the gifts that you have, acknowledge them and use them. Come on, Timothy. I need you to use them because there is an important job ahead. I need you to do that. I'm not going to be here. I need you to keep moving. I need you to keep teaching. I need you to keep preaching, regardless of what's coming against you, Timothy. Use and acknowledge the resources. In other words, don't hold back in talking about Christ. Don't hold back sharing your testimony. Don't hold back doing the good work for Christ. Don't hold back doing good because you feel weary. Don't hold back preaching, teaching, and witnessing. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. That's what the Word of God says. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. How can we be? Don't hold back standing firm in biblical truth when challenged. Don't hold back talking about his death, resurrection, and coming again. Heartbreakingly so. There are people who call themselves ministers that don't even acknowledge the coming again. They won't mention it. They won't talk about it. I remember I was in this church 2 weeks, and that was fired right down as about the coming again. How amazing is that? Paul is saying, do not be ashamed to be associated with Christ. Do not be ashamed to be associated with those who preach Christ just like he did. Join me, Timothy. It's okay. Learn to accept your suffering or don't. That's a challenge, man. Learn to accept your suffering or don't. And one of them, there's a consequence to that. That's a challenge for us all this morning. If we choose to call ourselves Christians, then we are claiming to stand in the truth of the Bible regarding its instructions and regarding its commands. That will bring difficulty in this culture and society that we live. 2 Timothy 3:12. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Don't get me wrong. This Christian life is a fantastic life. Of that, there is no doubt. Of course it is. It's the most amazing life. You know, accepting Christ, I would say, is the most important thing you will ever do. Today is the day for salvation. I truly believe that. And if you've not accepted Christ, please come and talk to us. But we're not going to hide from the fact that when you accept Christ, you've got to expect a tough time for living this life. We have to, Paul's saying, let it become so expected in our lives that it will never, ever, ever take us by surprise. And you might say this morning, you know what, Danny? I've been a Christian for years. And I've never really been challenged. Nobody's really wanted to sit down with me, have a go, have a pop. Nobody's really wanted to talk about why I tithe. Nobody's really wanted to talk about why I go to women, the men's meeting, the young adults meeting, a prayer night on Monday night, give up such my time. Nobody's really wanted to probe what I actually believe. If I'm honest with you, Danny, I've been a Christian for many years, and it's kind of a bit of a doddle. I go to church, I leave, I go to work, I come back, I go to church the following week, and I've never really had any grief at all. Here's one fact. If we make it our life aim, as we should, to speak the true gospel at every opportunity, that will not be the response that we give. That will not be the response we give. It's about being willing to be bold and courageous to deal with what's coming against us for standing firm. And if we suffer as a Christian, on whatever level, and there will be different grades, I believe we're doing something right. And Paul's saying, anticipate it. Program yourselves for it. Don't be surprised when it happens. It means we're doing something right. You see, the calling here is to do things, is to do these things, not to be ashamed and accept our suffering for God, because we suffer according to the power of God. What does that mean? To understand the God who supports us. Do we truly understand the God who supports us? The powerful God, the living almighty God of peace, love, joy, hope, power, healing. The God who gives us salvation when we accept him genuinely. The God who sustains us and strengthens us and equips us. The God who gives us discernment and wisdom when we seek him in order to receive sound judgment. The God who equips us to deal with our enemies. And what it's saying at the end of verse 8 is any suffering we have or any suffering that may happen to us, we suffer under the power of God. Understanding the God who supports us, knowing the power available from him. Do we know the power that is available from the God? Matthew 28:18 says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. We have the power to do all things through God who strengthens us. He has the power to save us and sustain us. How can we ever be ashamed of that? And in verse 9, it's so important to acknowledge the God who saved us and called us to a holy life. Paul reminds Timothy of the salvation that he's received. Do we remind ourselves of our salvation? Do we remind ourselves daily that if we've accepted Christ genuinely, we're assured our salvation? Because that really can kickstart your day. You see, when we're out there cracking on with life, serving, using our gifts, we have gifts. When we're using our gifts, there's nothing more heartbreaking to see a Christian whose gifts lay dormant. They do nothing with them. Horrible to see, heartbreaking to see. We should be fanning them into flame, as the word says, and blazing them into glory, honouring and glorifying God with them. So during all that, it's vital not to dismiss the God who sustains us and understand the God that has done that. It's the Almighty God who saved us and called us to a holy life. If God can save us, he can preserve us always. We need to put ourselves in his power. So important. We need to put ourselves in his power. And verse 9 starts off with saying, he saved us. Salvation. He designed it. He initiated it. He delivered us from death. He delivered us from hell. He delivered us from sin. He delivered us from Satan. Wow. That's some God who overturned death, sin, Satan, and hell. Amazing. But he also called us to a holy life. Called in this context means when he saved us from sin, he saved us to holiness. He did this not because of anything we have done, as Scripture says. And if God saved us from death and sin and not only saved us, made us holy, he did all that. All that without our help. That gives me assurance that that is an almighty, mighty God and a God who is in control. So we don't need to worry or be fearful or be ashamed or be embarrassed when we preach, when we teach, when we witness, when we draw alongside to encourage and help. These things which truly hold us back from motoring 100%, as Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, I want you to go. I want you to go big time. Use the resources that you've got, because there is an important task ahead. You see, we do not need to avoid speaking up with courage. Remember, God did not, it didn't happen, give us a spirit of fear. And Paul reminds Timothy of the holy calling. I mean, we kind of think of calling, we kind of think a pastor's been called. I suppose there's nothing wrong with that. But in this context, it's dealing with salvation. The calling is given to all that come to Christ and receive him genuinely. Called to be different from the world. Can we say today when we walk out these doors that we are different from the world? When we go to work, when we go into our families, when we go to school, college, university, whatever it may be. But this calling, it comes with massive responsibility and it comes with privilege. And we have to acknowledge that every day. But it also allows peace in trials. There are many people in this church going through a lot of stuff at the moment. Tough times. But we can serve the Lord in every situation with the peace that comes from him. We have the assurance of being part of the body of Christ, knowing that he will equip us in this life and keep us, and in the life to come. You see, there's a process involved with our salvation. If we're born again, we're kind of as born again as we're going to be. But our salvation will one day be completed as we are glorified in his presence. How amazing is that? 1 Peter 2:9, but you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Not according to our works, but according to his purpose and grace. We are not saved due to our own merit. Our salvation is from a merciful, living God. In verse 10, Paul, that amazing servant Paul, we have heard so much about him in this church. He faced death at any moment. What a servant he was. But like every one of us, one day our service will come to an end. Life can be tough, man. People react in different ways, of that there is no doubt. But it's full of challenge. It's full of hurt. It's full of pain. It's full of grief. It's full of adversity. And the list goes on. And none of us really know, or we don't know, what we're really going to go through before God calls us home. But the amazing news is, this world is not all there is for God's children. We are promised an eternal life in the Lord. Death will be the last enemy we face because death is powerless in the face of Christ. John 10:28 says, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them from my hand. You see, this world depends on its ability and the ability of others. We are not saved by works. We are not expected to serve God in and of our own ability. God does not expect us to serve him in and of our own ability. He saved us by grace, and he will enable us in every aspect of our life by his power. It goes back to verse 7. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us power, love, and sound mind. And if we belong to Christ, we possess everything we need to continue active service for him, regardless of the adversity that we face, whether it's big, whether it's small, whatever it is. Acknowledging the God, we heard about it earlier on, that powerful God, so important. He delivered us from sin to holiness. The God who knows the lives we are going to lead. The God who knows the sins we will commit, our weaknesses, our faults. He knows after we are saved, we will fall short and fail. Yet, knowing all that, he still ordained our salvation before the world began. Wow. Wow. The same God who sent his son to die. The same living God of hope, love, joy, peace, power, and healing. The omnipotent, omnipresent God. The Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last, the beginning, and the end. The God who assures them, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one shall snatch them from my hand. The God who gives us the resources of gifts and resources of power, love, and sound mind. How amazing is that? That God gives us that to deal with anything that is coming against us. If that's the God that we proclaim today is our God, the same God we go to when we expect healing or seek healing, the same God we go to when we're struggling, when we're hitting adversity, the same God that we go to when we give thanks, that's the God we proclaim today is our God, then how on earth, knowing the important task ahead, just like Timothy had, how on earth can we ever be ashamed of him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word, for your truth. Lord, we do in fact seek boldness and courage in order to deal with everything that comes our way in this world, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would indeed, when we seek you, give us discernment and wisdom to have the sound judgment to carry on effectively in this life. And help us every day to acknowledge the gifts and the resources of power, love, and sound mind that you give us, in order to use them to glorify you, to edify you, to honor you, and for the advancement of your kingdom. Lord, help us daily as we carry that cross to honor you. These things we ask in your almighty name. Amen.